This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I don't legitimately know where to start. Where do I start? Do I start with the witching hour? Do I start with somebody having to lose that Falcons-Lions game in a Falcons-Lions way?
There's so many places you could start.
Do I start with the Cowboys? Do I start with Tom Brady? Do I start with Herbert? Do I start with Baker Mayfield statistically, empirically, being better when Odell Beckham's not out there? Mike, at least in part, is relieved today because the Browns are in that space, Stugatz. It's a good space to be in where the expectations are so high that we only talk about you when you lose, or we only talk about you through the prism of should you trade your biggest star even after you win, because Baker Mayfield yesterday has 21 completions in a row after Odell Beckham symbolically injures himself trying to make a tackle after an interception. And I wish the audience could have heard the Stugatz and Mike Ryan conversation about Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham, because Mike Ryan was trying to tell me something tangible from a podcast, an obscure podcast that he was listening to, trying to get as much breakdown scientifically on what is the matter in the connection between Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield. And Stugatz immediately starts riffing with no information whatsoever, just bluster and ego. Well, you know, sometimes when you got a star on your team, you force it to him. Like, he's got no numbers, no backing, no nothing. And I'm waiting for Mike to tell me the information that he has, a theory that is grounded in something empirical. And Stugatz keeps interrupting him with the pressures of playing with a star.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have a guy on your team that just commands the ball. If you don't get him the ball, he gets lost, he gets emotional, he comes back to the huddle. You're constantly thinking about that guy, and OBJ is that guy. I did have numbers, courtesy of Hembo, at Paul Hembo. Baker Mayfield passer rating the last two seasons, with Odell on the field, 79.6. With him off the field, 116.6. He's better when Odell is not playing with
him. Well, but your theory stunk, though.
It's terrible.
You're sitting here, and I don't know how much they're targeting him, but I liked Mike Ryan. You know, he's going in these nether regions of the internet trying to find information on why it is the numbers seem to bear out that Odell Beckham and Baker Mayfield don't work together.
I'm proud of Mike. If he wants to dig through those podcasts and try to apply science to this, that's fine. I do it my way. I watch the game, and then I read Hembo on Twitter.
Okay,
I
but mean, this is a theory that seems, in terms of physically, what's happening out there. We all know Odell Beckham to be an elite receiver. And he goes to the Cleveland Browns, and he's got 200-yard games. Like, these two clearly don't function together the way that Odell Beckham and Eli Manning function together. And so what's the name of the podcast, Mike?
The OBR, Browns Film Breakdown Podcast. They do a great job.
And so what they were saying, Stugatz, is what is Eli Manning that Baker Mayfield isn't? Eli Manning is a taller quarterback, okay? So he could see over the line of scrimmage on so many of those slants that Odell Beckham was feasting on with the Giants that they don't have a connection on anymore, because that's not happening very much with the Browns.
Right. You can remember, like, the one time they hit a big slant. It was a Monday night game against the Jets. So many chunks of yardage from Odell Beckham came from those quick slants in New York. And Baker Mayfield is shorter than Eli Manning. So you look at, okay, well, Odell performed well and put up these huge receiving games with Eli Manning. What's the difference between Eli Manning and Baker Mayfield? Eli, obviously, taller. Another theory, and by the way, not to dismiss Stugatz, because that's as good a theory as any right now. But
it's the popular theory, because when we can't explain what's happening physically, what we do is go to those intangibles that involve ego and everything else. And I don't know how much Baker Mayfield, like, I'm watching stretches of game with Odell Beckham where I forget he's out there. It's not because he's being targeted and not catching the ball. It's because I'm watching and I'm seeing large swaths of game where Odell Beckham's not doing anything.
You're also seeing Baker Mayfield look inaccurate, which, if you take his rookie season and what you saw in college, and hell, what you saw on that final throw, which was incredible, to win the game at Cincinnati.
How many times did you watch it?
Dude, I'll watch it every commercial break. It was an incredible throw.
It was a dart.
He made so many incredible throws in that second half. It was outstanding. But he's not an inaccurate quarterback. But when he's targeting Odell Beckham Jr., he's inaccurate. He looks even more reckless, and he's generally reckless anyway. So why is that? Another theory that Jake Burns from this podcast said is Eli Manning, obviously a better pocket presence than Baker Mayfield.
Not as panicky.
Baker Mayfield.
He'll stand in the pocket. Eli Manning's not going to move anywhere, right. So he will stand in the pocket.
Happy feet. They've been trying to get Baker Mayfield on rollout, so he's not waiting for Odell to do these double moves, which might freelance a little bit, buy him more time to get open, and Baker Mayfield can't get the timing down with Odell Beckham Jr. Theories? Just as good as, well, the pressures of playing with Odell Beckham Jr. and all that goes with it might be playing into his head. But for the life of me, I can't understand why he's better targeting Hollywood Higgins, who has been in an active DMP coach's decision by every single coaching staff in there, who has not a single spectacular physical metric that makes you think this guy is a good wide receiver. But when Odell is targeted, it's much worse than when Baker targets Hollywood Higgins.
It's because Hollywood Higgins has no expectations. If he gets one ball, he's happy. If he gets eight, he's happier. If he gets none, he's fine. That's the difference
You don't know wide receivers very well. I do.
I know Hollywood Higgins.
The only experience you have with wide receivers is standing behind my leg at a casino in the Bahamas to stare at Julio Jones at a blackjack table. Like, you don't have any experience with what the wide receiver mentality is. Very few of them are okay with zero catches.
Dan, when you have a quarterback, a gunslinger like Baker Mayfield, you want him to go out there and not think. Just react. Just play. Just play football. Don't think about, hey, it's been five plays, I haven't targeted Odell Beckham Jr. yet. That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. And I promise you, because he's such a big star, Odell Beckham Jr. is, and because he's so talented, that Baker does do that. And then you take him out of the equation, and he's just throwing to whoever he wants to throw to.
What does a promise from you mean when you say you promised me? Like, what is it?
Not a lot. I mean, it's an empty promise.
We haven't quite been the show that in its first segment ships Odell Beckham Jr. out of Cleveland, but I was really hoping that we could just praise Baker Mayfield for a moment. Doing that with cracked ribs, doing that with his number one available receiver after Odell goes down, also with broken ribs. No Austin Hooper, who is ill. His best offensive lineman out. He didn't have an incompletion after that disastrous first quarter. It was an amazing performance.
It was.
After the week that he had, it must be, you know, pretty great to be Baker Mayfield today.
He started 0-5 and finished 22 of 23.
His first quarter was 0 yards.
And the one incompletion was a spike.
0 yards in the first quarter. I do have to get to what's happening, though, between Brady and Belichick, because these are far ends of the spectrum, what happened yesterday with these two.
Brady's winning.
He is winning so far, yes, Stugatz. And weird as a Jets fan that you would take that as a victory, but you only do so because it embarrasses me. Yeah. Like, you in the hallway, you following me to the bathroom.
I was, yeah.
Just speaking Brady stats.
I was.
Stugatz's weekend observations are going to be next.
Dan, he's playing better at the age of 43.
Stugatz's weekend observations are going to be next. I heard you on the way to the bathroom.
You did. Okay.
Just right behind me, chirping the entire time.
I just wanted to make sure.
Don Libertard.
I'm relaxed here, man. I don't know what to tell you. I'm just relaxed. I'm relaxed doing this with you, and I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not going to get in trouble.
I know, Stugatz. It's fine that you're relaxed.
Yeah.
It's just not great for television purposes that when I need to talk to you, you're chewing on your finger.
Stugatz.
Okay. I'm ready.
Great. We're only 20 minutes in.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
We've got Brady Belichick stuff to get to. We got to get to Stephen A. Smith dancing for a full minute in front of his television. Chris Cody is so happy that it's Tua time that he's feeding himself grapes from the cluster.
Nice.
He is just holding up grapes and eating them because it's Tua time. And also, you will not believe Mina Kimes' record on these games, Stugatz, since the start of the season.
All right.
I will give that to you in a second against the spread. But first, we've got Stugatz's weekend observations.
It is time for Stugatz to share his game notes.
No one in the media will tell you what happened better than my boy Stu.
Weekend Observations, brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Get a free battery test and free installation with any automotive battery purchase at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts. Dan, the standard 45-7 Wisconsin win. The annual battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. An instant classic between a team that was never going to win a national championship and a team that will lose at Rutgers next week. And Dan, just like that, the Big Ten is back. Speaking of back, the pack. Cam Newton, if it's that hard standing up from the huddle, either stop kneeling or, better yet, quit football.
Such a good point.
Thank you. Wow. Early in the proceedings here. Justin Turner looks like Teen Wolf. No?
I mean, if Teen Wolf had a lot of red hair.
Oh. It looks like Teen Wolf. Charlie Morton, the Clayton Kershaw is strong in you. Dan, you know what the C in Charlie Morton stands for?
What?
It stands for Clayton. Walker is a weird name for an ace. Taking the tie against the Bengals in week three might prove to be a better call than the Philly special to win the Eagles the Super Bowl. Oh, that tie. College football is confusing, and it's starting to give me a headache. How in 2020 is wind and a light rain still disrupting my DirecTV service? I can't imagine Minnesota is a fun place to visit. UFC, do me a favor. When you tell me something is starting at 2 p.m., start it at 2 p.m. Also, I'd like my money back. Seriously. UFC, $88 and 5 minutes of my life that I'll never get back. Maybe the $88. Maybe. But the 5 minutes never coming back.
You don't know how much you paid for that. You still don't know. And I'm sure you jerry-rigged something so that you stole it.
I feel like it was $88, maybe $98.
I'm not even certain. It was just wholesale, pure profit piracy.
We'll find out what Amex says later today, and I'll up it by 100. How about that? Dan, last week I told you Florida State was back. This week, I'm telling you, they're not.
Thank you.
You got it. Dan, you know what the J in Justin Field stands for?
No.
It stands for Jesus, death, taxes, and Kevin Dunn in the WWE production truck cutting away from a high spot. A dominant conference win under the Friday night lights, and the Badgers appear to be back. Scratch that. Their quarterback just tested positive for COVID-19. But there have been a lot of false positives. The Badgers are back again, potentially. Game four, World Series.
The Badgers are false positive. They exist to be a false positive. You think they're going to win the championship, they're false positive.
No one roots harder against the Badgers than me and you.
I mean, they're the same team every year.
Game four, World Series. Greatest World Series game of all time. By the way, when I said the J stands for Jesus before, I didn't mean Jesus, he's good. I meant he might actually be Jesus. Steelers have receivers on top of receivers. Not certain which is more terrifying. Derrick Henry running directly at you with a full head of steam, or DK Metcalf chasing you down from behind with a full head of steam.
Guillermo, hold on a second. Okay. Put that on the poll. Scarier at Le Batard Show. Derrick Henry running at you or DK Metcalf running after you?
Because he wants his stuff back. That guy's a man. Who needs Antonio Brown when you have Scotty Miller? Patriots faced with a rare must win in week eight. Colin Kaepernick, Dallas Cowboys, collision course. That's a good one. That's a good one.
It can't get desperate enough in Dallas for Colin Kaepernick to be the quarterback there.
Can't really blame Todd Gurley. It's not like the exact same thing happened to someone the day before. You know what the D in Dallas stands for? Not defense. The Eagles. Week 3 tie versus the Bengals might prove to be the most important tie in NFL history. You know what the M in Myles Garrett stands for?
Again with this?
Menace. Tennessee Titans. Overrated. Steelers. 9-minute opening drive for a touchdown. Dan, you know what kind of drive that was? A methodical one. Todd Gurley. Selfish. Jets. Big time loss. The B in Burrow stands for balls. The B in Baker stands for bigger balls.
Really?
All right. Yeah. Tough one for Everton over the weekend, Danny. You can't take Danny Ings and them Southampton boys lightly, mate. The Saints. Baker Mayfield is better without Odell Beckham Jr. Red Zone Channel can be dizzying at around 4 p.m. if they go four wide. That game was so Falcons, and at the exact same time, so Lions. The only thing Arthur Blank was missing was a piece of cardboard with the last name of the player he was driving home after the game. Congratulations to the Jets for having a lead. A pair of well-placed bolt cutters using Hell in a Cell to his advantage, and a pinfall victory courtesy of the three most devastating letters in professional wrestling. And Dan, just like that, for the 14th time, Randy Orton is back. The Viper, death, taxes, and the Brady sneak. Every time I look up, every time, every Sunday, someone on an NFL field is hurt. With a 136 winning percentage through 7 weeks, the Giants are still in the mix.
The kings of New York football.
Who the hell is Donovan Peoples-Jones, DPJ? Speaking of hell, Art Briles. Dan, those are the weekend observations. A hell of a weekend, man.
The witching hour was tremendous.
Oh, the four wide. Is that not dizzying? I mean, even Siciliano was like, hey, get all these screens off. I mean, crazy. I'm going to lose my mind.
We've got a lot to get to. We will do it next.
Don Libertard.
How much would you pay to walk into a party and see Nick Saban out of nowhere going, the freaks come out at night, hut, hut, hut,
Stugatz.
Big shot Bosch, all up in your math.
I don't understand. What is that?
Get with it.
This is the Don Libertard Show on ESPN Radio.
That no-faith Bills fan Christine Lisi was doing what with you yesterday via social media, Stugatz?
She sent me a DM saying that the Jets will get their first victory this year.
I did not realize that she was that neurotic and scared. Christine Lisi will be able to defend herself, but first she has to finish up her sports update.
And finally, polar bears have recently been mating with grizzly bears, creating a hybrid breed called growler bears.
That's not good. Polar bears are kind of going extinct here. I don't want to start on that sad note. Her Bills won yesterday, yet she has no faith against the Jets. When was that sent? Was it sent before the game? Was it sent during the game?
It was sent during the game.
Yeah, it was sent during the game. I think the Jets had a lead not once but twice in that game, and Christine got nervous. I responded to her, you have no idea how badly they're trying to lose.
I was doing the jinx thing. I was like, if I send this to him, things will turn around because they'll make fun of me tomorrow about the tweet, or about the message, and then I'll jinx the Jets into losing.
Christine, let me explain something to you. Did you see the LaMichael Perrine touchdown?
I did not.
All right. So the Jets had LaMichael Perrine in, and because Le'Veon Bell has been traded, he scored a touchdown, and it's as if the Jets coaching staff said, whoa, this guy is too talented. He might give us a chance to win. Get him out of the game.
thank you, Christine. Congratulations. 5-2 now, the mighty Buffalo Bills. Stugatz, the story in that division is from yesterday that we have not seen this century. The Patriots look like they've looked recently. This is from Michael Girardi, and Cam Newton is having a hell of a time out there. I don't know how COVID has impacted him. I do know how those skill guys have impacted him. He's got 2 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, Stugatz.
Mm-hmm.
In an era of offense from Michael Girardi, this stat staggers me. The Patriots have scored fewer than 13 points in three straight games for the first time in the Bill Belichick era since 2000. The last such streak was 1995. And then this is from NBC Sports. How ugly was it? Consider these stats. The Niners scored more points and had more first downs in the first half than the Patriots had offensive plays. The Patriots allowed 301 yards in the first half, the most they've allowed in the first half at home under Bill Belichick. New England is now two games under 500 for the first time since 2001, when they lost the second start of Brady's NFL career. And Cam Newton's final line, 9 for 15, 98 yards, zero touchdowns, three interceptions. He was benched late in the third quarter. And it was a historically bad showing for Newton, according to The Ringer. He'd never thrown for fewer than 100 yards in a start before. And it was also historically bad for the Patriots, as Brady only had his, you know, two no-touchdown, three-pick days in his 20-year Patriot career. Two no-touchdown, three-pick games. And those were in 2003 and 2006. Since COVID, Cam Newton is zero touchdowns, five interceptions.
It's really crazy. Belichick said he'd remain the starter. Cam Newton would. They play the Bills this week. That's why it's a must win. I mean, it's just, I cannot believe what happened to them since they lost a 42-year-old Tom Brady. It's crazy.
I understand why people go to COVID, even though he was asymptomatic, right? And we have plenty of examples, like Donovan Mitchell actually had symptoms, and he was one of the best basketball players on the planet.
Oh, but I don't think we can know how this impacts.
Right. There's been brain fog. I've seen all of that. But when the Carolina Panthers made it to a Super Bowl as a one-loss team, he had Jericho Cotchery. Remember that preseason they lost Kelvin Benjamin. This is my hot take. He's older, and the hits have worn on him. It's why pocket passers tend to last longer, because they're not taking those. He is massive. Not only does he have his own body weight to worry about, he has to worry about players giving him his best shot because he's so large. He had a car accident several years ago that jacked him up. He is not the same player without the same athleticism, and you're seeing that right now.
The best skill guys he's ever had are McCaffrey and Steve Smith, right? After that, you get into a territory where you yes. arrive at Kelvin Benjamin. But this is from Bill Barnwell on ESPN Daily, Stugatz. Tom Brady has had two games this season where opposing defenses pressured him more than 20% of the time. The loss to the Bears, the loss to the Saints. All of Brady's other games this season, the opposing defense has pressured him 17% of the time or less, and the Bucs have won all five of those games. Yesterday, the Raiders pressured Brady 7% of the time, one of the lowest numbers you'll see from any team this season. That's the perfect fit for Tom Brady. A whole bunch of skill position talent, not very much pressure, a coach who's willing to go back on what he said publicly, putting his name on, I don't want Antonio Brown, the only coach in the league to do that, and their defense is really good. They get pressure with four.
It's pretty incredible when you consider a guy like Scotty Miller has over 100 yards and they're still going to bring in Antonio Brown. But this is what Tom wanted, and it's why he left. I think he was tired of Belichick, but also tired of, hey, I'm here, I have a window, I'm still pretty good, you're not getting me the offensive talent. And the Buccaneers had it and went out and got more.
It is fascinating. Is Antonio Brown now going to do the Scotty Miller stuff? Is Antonio Brown going to be the equivalent of a slot guy there? Because you've got Godwin and Michael. You don't need three of those. You don't need three guys where none of them are the slot guy.
Well, Mike Evans is your deep threat, but you're right. You have two of them in Scotty Miller and Godwin, and now you're adding Antonio Brown, who is also a slot guy. So you're going to have three. But everyone's getting injured, Dan, so you never know when you need them, you know?
They have a lot of talent all over the field.
I would use Mike Evans, honestly, as a slot guy. Tom Brady had so much success with Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski, these big, tall targets in the middle of the field. You don't have to test his arm strength by throwing outside the numbers. Do more Mike Evans in the middle of the field. Now, I don't know how Mike Evans feels about that.
I'm going to say it, though, Stugatz. I'm going to marvel at what it is that's happening there. I'm going to say it again and again. Bruce Arians is the only guy in the league as an active coach who put his name on, I don't want Antonio Brown. And they signed Antonio Brown. Like, that is telling you that this is Tom Brady has a power there that he didn't seem to ever have in New England.
Well,
because they traded away Welker when he didn't want him traded.
He should have that power. First off, he could have stayed in New England. Secondly, he could have gone to other teams. He went to a team where he was going to have that power. Hey, if I tell you to get Antonio Brown, I don't care if you coached him before. Go get Antonio Brown. I got a small window here.
Stugatz, though, just so that you know, Arian said that when Brady was his quarterback.
I know.
Like, he said it flatly.
I know.
Stephen A. Smith yesterday, dancing in front of his television for a full minute.
It's glorious.
He's the Howard Cosell of our times, and I'm just finding fascinating that he is growing and getting further and further from anything that resembles journalism in the way that he is treating the Cowboys. It is full-on professional wrestler shtick.
Yet he is still soaked with credibility. I mean, he just is. I don't know how he pulls it off.
Stephen A. was not dancing in front of his television. Stephen A. was dancing in front of his six televisions that were all next to each other, and he has some sort of Best Buy setup that has them all projecting one picture on a massive wall.
He had his back to you for 30 seconds where he was simply dancing, and you couldn't see that it was him, but you could tell it was him from the back. And he was dancing, and then he turned around, and it was legitimately funny to have him singing How About Those Cowboys as he laughs at them every time they lose.
I'm going to say it. I thought he'd be a better dancer.
Thank God this is over.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Roy, why are you shaking your head sadly at Chris Cody?
I agree with Poppy. Thank God this is over.
John Levitard.
Are you aware that you have a giant piece of food on your face?
Stugatz.
I have two jobs. Full-time job, co-hosting this show. Part-time job, fantasy sports.
This is the John Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
I think that you and Chris Cody have a good idea when you suggest that the callers and the listeners form Tua songs over the course of the week. I am also scared because very often these songs are terrible, but I'm going to put the telephone number out there, and 786-456-4837 is the telephone number for the entirety of the week to see if we can get some good Tua calls. It's been a while since we have done songs around here regularly. Michael Doliak lured us out briefly, but we've done songs over the years, and usually it rises to meet a moment like this one where the Dolphins have hope coming in at quarterback. You've seen what Herbert and Burrow look like. They're instantaneously difference makers. You can tell that they look good, and now Tua is being given the keys to the Dolphins when the Dolphins are in striking position and coming off of two very good games. So I will open up the floor to Tua calls, 786-456-4837. But sports are moving too fast right now. We all know that there's never been a time like this in our lifetimes where we have this much sports. So you get the witching hour yesterday, which is crazy. And on the average football Monday, usually what happens in Indiana and Penn State game, which was one of the great college games you'll ever see with one of the great finishes you'll ever see, ends up getting buried. But also, right after the Indiana-Penn State game, Game 4 of the World Series was magical. Now, I remember the Phillies and the Blue Jays played a World Series game that was like 13-12, at the beginning of the century. But if you were to argue to me that Game 4 of the World Series was the best World Series game you've ever seen, you won't get much objection from me. And I know Billy and Chris were living and dying with it, like legitimately caring about it while watching, you know, two teams that they don't necessarily have any interest in.
You know, the worst part about the fact that Game 4 of the World Series was on Saturday, that Game 5 of the World Series was on Sunday. So there's already been an entire game that's taken away from what was a ridiculous game on Saturday, and we haven't even had time to discuss it. The end of that game was insane. And Brett Phillips, I was trying to remember, where do I know Brett Phillips from? And I think that Brett Phillips is an alumni of the Epic Sound of the Day just because he had a ridiculous laugh. I'm pretty sure that that's who Brett Phillips is. But man, what an exciting play. Dan, did you love that play? I can't believe all of that stuff happened. And Joe Buck gets so much crap all the time from people. He did such a good job with the call. The only thing that I would have improved is maybe he could have talked a little bit more about how it was kind of punted out there in the outfield before they threw it in. But it's fine. He gets a pass for that because he was walking us through everything that was happening. What a moment, huh? Baseball's back, and then there was yesterday's game, and then it's gone again for a little bit. But it was back for a day.
It was.
Billy, were you worried about Brett Phillips at the end of that game? Because he gets the game-winning hit. There's a crazy error, so they end up winning the game. He's running around the outfield, getting chased by his teammates, finally gets tackled. He couldn't even be interviewed right away after the game because he couldn't breathe. He was in the dugout with like trainers, like it looked like he was having a heart attack after that.
What a way to go, though, huh? If that would have been the last moment of Brett Phillips' life,
it would have been. It would have been a good way to go. I'm with you on that, Billy. I got an angry text I wasn't expecting this weekend because Rosarena has been amazing. Okay, like ridiculous. He's hitting everything hard. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in the postseason, that this man just hits everything.
Came within inches of hitting a home run in the first inning against Kershaw. I was so rooting for that to go out.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, now you're going to have to root that against Kershaw winning World Series MVP. But, Billy, I got a text message from Orestes de Estrada, who is saying that he invented the Rosarena song that Jeff Passan has now stolen and turned into Macarena. And what I can't dispute is he had sent me a text a week ago where he was calling a Rosarena. He was doing singing his name to the Macarena. So Jeff Passan is officially a thief, according to Orestes de Estrada.
There's a guy who hits his name Randy Rosarena. Every time he takes a swing, it is a thing. It's cosa buena. Running around the bases, he's as fast as a hyena. Ah, Rosarena. Aye.
Mike, you don't love what I'm doing here with the Tua calls, do you?
I mean, my job is pretty hard during a pandemic, but sure, let's do this. Songs are always great.
Bill, you're on ESPN Radio. Go ahead, Bill.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna Tua? What you gonna Tua when they come for you?
Yeah, this is what I'm afraid of. 786-456-4837 is the telephone number.
Wait, so do you believe Orestes when he says that this was stolen from him?
Yes.
You're listening to the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.